I'm reading Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my command within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, for from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral women, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the ways of goodness, and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Amen.
So, chapter 2 of Proverbs. That's what we're looking at this evening. The title I have got is The Value of Wisdom. So, chapter 2. Now, the son of chapter 1, I know it's a long time ago since we did it, but trust me, there was a son in chapter 1, is now really encouraged to look for wisdom. He's been warned about not seeking wisdom and the consequences of going down the wrong path. So, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Now, as a teacher, you would love every pupil to take what you teach seriously. No talking in class, no sleeping in class, no gazing out the window, not snapping the notebook shut at the end before the bell rings. But verses 1 to 9 are there to encourage and show how seriously we should take wisdom and her teachings. The term my son in verse 1 recalls again the teacher's role of authority and the intimacy with the pupil. Where it says, receive, treasure, incline, apply, cry out, lift up your voice, seek, search. Verb after verb is used to really show the importance placed on wisdom by the teacher. Now, verse 4 says, search for her hath silver. Now, you would think that would be gold, wouldn't you? But apparently, in this region, silver at one time was worth more than gold. It was so rare, it was the most valuable metal around. So what she's saying is that wisdom is the most valuable thing you can find. Then we need to search for wisdom as if it were a hidden treasure. Man will go to great depths, search long and hard to find treasure. You just have to watch the television when they're doing the deep sea dives and all the trouble they go to find treasure. But wisdom needs to be searched for like that, for it is worth it. It also shows us that we have a choice to look or not to look. Wisdom is also something that doesn't just come to us. It isn't like you wake up one morning, you've got saved, and the next morning you've got wisdom. It doesn't work like that. Wisdom needs a lot of work to find it. But it is your choice whether you put in the work or not. Like silver, it needs to be refined to get the best out of it. And like anything valuable, it will grow in value if looked after properly. In verse 5, it gives us the result of truly searching for her. Remember, fear is an attitude and knowledge is an action as well as information. Then you will understand what she is telling us. That someone who seeks God earnestly will know what to do to please God and how to do it. The response will be worship, obedience, service, love, which God enables those to make who fully commit their way to Him. If we look in Proverbs 3:5-6, we have this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Wisdom is the ability to see our lives from the Lord's perspective and live in accordance to His will. Now, I was actually asked this question just before we came up. How do we acquire wisdom? We ask for it. If you lack wisdom, ask God to give you wisdom, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And it will be given to him. And that's from James 1:5. There's only one source of wisdom, And that comes from the Lord. There's a lot of so-called wisdom knocking about these days. I'm sure we see it on the telly when they have all these latest gimmicks. And some even might seem to work for a while. But this sort of wisdom doesn't get you closer to God. It's not about how intelligent you are, how good a memory you have. It's about getting to know God and His ways. It will change your life for the good and how you view others and interact with others. We'll treat our neighbours differently. Our work colleagues will see a big change in us. And how you relate to them. That awkward one you don't really get on with at work. I'm sure you all have them. I know I have. You'll have more patience for them. Materials things won't seem as important or as valuable to you. And your world will seem different. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We have His knowledge and understanding right here in front of us in the Bible. That's the only reliable source we have. But notice in verse 7, it says sound wisdom. Not just wisdom, sound wisdom. He's making a point that there are unsound wisdoms and false wisdom around, but that is not for us, because He gives sound wisdom. Wisdom is also a very important shield for those of us who follow God's path. By seeking His wisdom and understanding, what does it mean to us? It protects us against the ways of the world and the wiles of the enemy. By following His ways, it can keep us safe. It stops us from doing silly things that can harm us. In verse 8, He guards the paths of justice. In other words, He guards us against injustice. And that is, His wisdom works in us to fend off our tendencies towards injustice, of unfair treatment of our neighbours and our fellow citizens, and to ward off and correct the injustices with which they may afflict us. So the outcome of this is that we will understand what righteousness and justice are all about. Also equity and every good path. You will understand what God is trying to teach us and be able to put it into practice, to use it to honour God. Verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of unrighteousness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. When wisdom enters your heart, what a lovely way of putting it. It makes it sound so poetic and warm, doesn't it? Then it carries on, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. That word pleasant, it's a very attractive Hebrew word. It comes from the Song of Solomon in 7:6. It's used to sum up the beauty of the woman. So in other words, wisdom is a beautiful thing. Something to be desired. And when God's word doesn't offend you, but delights you, when your soul wants to learn, when you smile when you talk about Jesus, when you feel good after a good Bible study or a good sermon, that's when knowledge is pleasant to your soul. I remember I got Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door one day, with two of them, two men. And we were talking and they said, "Now there's something you don't see very often these days." I said, "What?" He said, "Somebody's smiling and they're talking about Jesus." And I thought, what a compliment. It's, we should do. We love him. You know, if you're talking about your wife, you should smile. If you're talking about your husband, you should smile. It's not always that easy, I know, but you should do. Now, you using discretion and understanding when speaking and going about your daily life will preserve you and keep you safe. We all know people, I'm sure, that don't think before they speak. They don't engage the brain filters first. We are not to be like that. Remember, anyone can seem wise if they don't say a lot. And listen, then speak a few words. That's the trick. You don't say a lot, just say the odd word every now and again, you seem really wise. I bet sometimes, though, you wish the preacher would follow that, don't you? Not tonight, hopefully. And not when I was preaching, of course. Or Steve. But why do we need to be discreet? Verse 12 tells us clearly, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Wow. The things and people of this world, the evil of this world, will not bring us down. Wisdom is our protection. It will deliver us from the ways of evil. Wisdom will shield us from those who speak against God. It will show us when to speak out and when not to speak out. It will give us words to say that will calm things down, and words to say in difficult situations. She, wisdom, is pretty smart. And I think we should start listening to her. People don't like the light. It shows their darkness. And believing the paths of unrighteousness, they feel comfortable because their evil ways don't stand out. You notice, but evil appears twice in verse 12 and verse 14. Perverse and perversity appears twice in the same verses. They point to a system that is turned upside down. Truth becomes error, and error becomes truth. Right is branded wrong, and wrong is praised as right. Just sounds like today, doesn't it? This shows their liking for darkness, their crooked and devious ways. Don't stand out. They blend in with the darkness around them. This is why we don't fit in with the world. As light against their darkness, it makes them feel uncomfortable, pricks their consciences. They delight in their ways and the ways of others that don't show them as doing evil. Everybody else is doing it, why shouldn't we? But wisdom protects us from going down these paths of darkness. If we are tempted, it pulls us back. If we're in danger of being deceived, it reminds us to stay on the path and not to go astray. Verse 16. To deliver you from immoral women, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the goodness, in the way of goodness, and keep to the paths of righteousness. The illustrations depicting a woman of loose sexuality, it builds immediately on what has gone before it. Verse 11, 12 to 15, the structure runs like this. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. That's in verse 11. Verse 12, to deliver you from the man who speaks perverse things. Verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman. And finally in verse 20, so you may walk in the ways of goodness. Even though I've split it up, if you will, for explaining it, chapter 2 needs to be taken as a whole. Preaching on part of it, part of the chapter could lose the impact, could be taken out of context. But what we have then in verses 16 to 20 is not an isolated warning about fornication, but a further description of wisdom's ability to serve as a shield and a guard. From verse 7 and 8. To deliver from verse 16 in life's temptation. Wisdom's main aim is to empower and protect us as we walk through life. And to make sure we live in the ways of goodness. This immoral woman should be like a foreigner to us. We don't understand her and her ways. Let's face it. Men in general are weak-minded when it comes to pretty faces and fluttering eyelids. A bit of flattery of a woman can usually get what they want. Men are weak-minded creatures. But don't get me wrong, I'm not getting at women. It's men's frailty that is a problem. But wisdom empowers us to be strong. Keeping close to God gives you the strength to be delivered from immoral women. Those women who have turned away from their husbands and forgot the covenant they made with God. She's deliberately turned away from God and fails to obey her marriage vows. Wisdom not only warns about these things, but goes on to show us what happens when we follow her ways. The ugliness of her actions stand in sharp contrast to the attractiveness of her seductive techniques. She flatters, says smooth and pleasing things with her words. But so susceptible is a male ego to such sweet nothings that the teacher has to unmask both the unthinkable obscenity of her adulterous ways and to predict the deadly effects on anyone who consorts with her. Now, at first, it seems an attack on the seductiveness of women and the gullibility of men. But when you understand this part of Proverbs and what it's aimed at, it'll help you understand. Proverbs, by its very purpose, centres on the needs of the men who were to take strategic roles in public life. Of course, these men are in the firing line, as we say. These men are more likely to come across situations where they are vulnerable. So the empowering strength of wisdom will help a lot. And I think why it is targeting women and men in this way is that women of those days were quite protected. It was the men that was in the public roles. Today, that if it was, that was written today, it must have been, it would cover everybody. But also, we could see this as a national thing in Israel at the time. Religious compromise. Verse 18, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. The mention of death and the dead in verse 18, it may suggest some connection between Dame Folly and the mythology of the Canaanites, for whom death was actually a deity that they had to conquer every spring to ensure fertility of crops and flocks. And the dead were shades of, or spirits that hobnobbed with death. In other words, Folly may have not merely the absence of Israel's covenant ideals, but also the blatant presence of Canaanite pagan practices. Remember in Hosea, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they've all tarried with Israel's drift into Canaanite religious practices as expressions of spiritual adultery. Verse 20 reminds us that wisdom's message, what wisdom's message is all about. So you may walk in the ways of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. The wisdom of God is one of the weapons that we have to defend ourselves against the ways of the world, against temptation, against falling from the path. Verses 21 and 22. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So in closing the chapter, we also need to remember the beginning of the chapter. Verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. The if at the beginning makes it clear that we have choices to make, to study wisdom or not. But the end two verses make the outcome of these choices very clear. Verse 21 shows the outcome of a good choice. They will stay in the land and be blameless. But that is contrasted by verse 22, a bad choice. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth. So in the end, it comes down to our choices. The right path which leads to the promised land, or the wrong path that leads to death and destruction. But wisdom is there, provided by God, to help us make the right decision. The Old Testament is full of wisdom. Don't neglect it. God didn't spend time giving us this good advice just for it to be ignored. There's a reason. It's there for a reason. Use it. And give God the glory.